That was not funny. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Bottom buddies, Don and Mike.
Biggest weekend of the year thus far, football. We were talking about the Colts and the Patriots.
It's one of the biggest regular season games in the last 10 years.
Normally on our Pick the Pros into the Scab and Lead segment, we'd have JB, or we had Nancy on already this week.
That's right.
This week, we are going in the Wayback Machine to a guy we wanted to have on the show for a long time, and a guy who's a big football fan.
Right.
Come in, Jamie Farr. Hello, Jamie.
Yes, hello. Is that Don and Mike?
Yeah, yes. Jamie Farr. How are you?
I've been listening to your program on the internet, and I feel very much the way Don does. I like the Colts, but I think the Patriots are going
to
win.
Well, let's welcome Jamie Farr to the show. I want to mention for everybody listening to us in Las Vegas, the $250,000 game show Spectacular with host Bob Eubanks, Chuck Woolery, and Jamie Farr is now playing at the Vegas Hilton Theater. Showtimes 1:30 and 3:30.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. We've been doing it now for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've had nice crowds. Bob Eubanks has Mondays and Tuesdays. Chuck has Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have Friday and always on Saturday. And if any of your listeners are coming to Las Vegas, I got a nice deal for them. They can call a 1-800 number and get two tickets for the price of one. The 800 number is 222-5361.
How long do you see yourself doing the show?
Our contract is until the end of December, and if it does well, they'll continue with it. We play about 4 or 5 different games. We play a little bit of Card Sharks, The Gong Show, Name That Tune, the Newlywed Game. We got some stunts in it, and everybody in the audience that has a valid ticket has an opportunity at the end of the show to come up and try to win $250,000. And if that happens, everybody in the audience that has a ticket, a valid ticket, wins $100.
Well, Jamie, you've been a game show contestant. How did you find yourself in the role of hosting a game show?
Well, I've been doing game shows for the last 30 years, as you said, as a panelist and as a celebrity contestant. And I've been asked numerous times by either Merrill Heater, right, and Quigley and Mark Goodson to host game shows, but right, I never wanted to do it because as an actor, I felt that it would hurt you. There are only a few actors that have made the transition where they could do a game show and then still act. Burt Convy was one, right, and Larry Blyden was another. So I just didn't want to do it. And although I've done some pilots, I did something for Dick Clark, and I've also substituted for some of the other game show hosts when they were ill on their games, I just never wanted to do it. But Bob came to me, Eubanks did, and he said, "Hey, Jamie, this is in-house. It's not going to be televised. So would you like to be a part of it?" And I said, "Yeah." So there I am.
You still open to an acting gig if
one
comes along?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to a screening tomorrow. I did a Christmas movie for the Hallmark Channel with Ernest Borgnine, who is 90 years old.
Wow.
Catherine Hellman, Richard Libertini, and Tracy Nelson. And it'll be on the month of Christmas, month of December, on the Hallmark Channel. It's called Grandpa for Christmas. And Ernie is just absolutely wonderful in it. And he is so facile. He not only knew his own lines, he knew your lines.
So he's still getting it done.
Oh, yeah. Ernie's a wonderful man, and we had great stories to exchange because my first movie was Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford and Sidney Poitier, which brought Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets. And then Ernie also did the Wild Bunch with Bill Holden, and I had done the first miniseries with Bill called The Blue Knight, which Bill won an Emmy for. So we had great stories to exchange about William Holden and Glenn Ford.
You've been doing this for a while, too, actually long before you became best known for your role on TV's MASH.
Oh, yeah. This is my 54th year I'm celebrating.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
I tell you the truth, I'm a blessed guy. It's been amazing. I've had a varied career. I've directed, I've written, I've produced, I've acted. I've done live television in the early days with Red Skelton carrying half of his show. Did some of the early Playhouse 90 kind of shows and that, and I worked with Lucille Ball, Bob Hope, Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke, Red Skelton, as I said, Danny Kaye. So it's been just fantastic. Directors like Richard Brooks and George Stevens. It's been an absolutely sensational career.
You've worked with them all. Now, obviously, MASH more of a blessing than a curse. But was your role on the TV show MASH a kind of an albatross for you in terms of acting immediately after that show?
You know, I got lucky. We did a show called After MASH for 2 years, and that wasn't very successful. but it was a little quiet. But I started in the theater, so I went to Broadway. I was in your city. I took over for Nathan Lane in Guys and Dolls about 13 years ago, doing Nathan Detroit, and then I did road companies of shows. Last year, I did the one man show. Say Goodnight Gracie, George Burns, Frank Gorshin had done it at the Helen Hayes Theater in New York, and I took it across the country on tour. I've done so many other things, movies of the week, all the Cannonball Run movies, all the movies that I've done for television. So it does a little bit, but at the same time, I think more than anything that hurts you is when you get a little older, your age is against you, because it's pretty much of a youth market in television and movies today.
You sound great. You sound energetic. You feel good?
Oh, I feel sensational. It's just absolutely wonderful. I was telling your producer we had a scare a couple weeks ago with those fires. They got kind of close, and we thought we were going to have to evacuate, but we were safe. And those firemen, I know your city owes a great deal to the firemen in New York City, and
absolutely,
of course our firemen here in L.A. They're next to saints. They really stand there and put their lives on the line to protect your home and property. They're just the most wonderful people in the world.
America's bravest. You say that the fires actually did get close to you and your family?
This time it didn't. The earlier one, a couple of years ago, it came right to the back of our house, and they stayed here and they were vigilant and kept the fire away. My son was in Santa Clarita. He and his wife and our grandson, and they were going to have to evacuate. That's the one that was near Magic Mountain. So we're not too far from Malibu, so we were going to be caught in the middle. The Malibu was heading north, and the other fire was heading south, so we were in the middle of it.
You were surrounded. Now, on this Vegas game show, this is sort of a live performance of a game show.
It is.
Whose idea was that? How did a non-televised game show come to be?
Well, the Bally's Hotel has been doing The Price is Right for, I think, about a year.
Uh-huh.
And it's been very successful as an afternoon show. But the problem with Price is Right, if you've seen the show, it's rather limited in terms of winners and participation with the audience. So Bob Eubanks and his producer said, hey, why don't we put in a game show where you can have 50 winners and get up there and let the audience be the participants, let them be the stars of the show. So they took it to the Hilton. They said, hey, we like this idea. So they're trying it out. And thus far, it's been pretty good. We've had some nice crowds. The audience just loves it. We have some kind of stunt participation, truth or consequence kind of things, where we surprise the audience a little bit. We picked the audience through their ticket stubs and then randomly, like for the newlywed game and things like that. And the audience loves it. They play Card Sharks and, of course, the Gong Show, my old...
Right.
That show, I got to tell you, doing that, when we were doing it for real, was quite an adventure with Chuck Barris and J.P. Morgan.
Now, we've had Chuck Barris on the show or not, and you've heard about, you've probably seen his movie or read his
CIA
book.
CIA thing?
Exactly. Yeah. I got to ask you, what do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think he was a CIA spy?
George Clooney's production company is named after me. Next time you see one of his movies, you'll see it's produced by Section 8.
That's right. I've noticed that, as a matter of fact.
He named it after me. I did a movie of the week with George quite a few years ago with Bob Culp. And he was telling me that if he ever, got into the producing end, he was going to name it Section 8.
Well, Section 8, an old military term, but one that became closely associated with you. I had no idea Clooney named his production company in honor of you and your character.
Yeah, that's it. That's trying to get out of the Army by claiming you're crazy. So
now that's the role you became most beloved for, and you're aware, Jamie, of just how beloved and strongly remembered you still are to this day, even though TV's MASH has been off the air for how long now? Quite a while.
It hasn't been off the air. It's been out of production.
Well, yeah, that's true. It never goes off the air.
No, I tell you, it's played every half hour someplace in the world. I know Hallmark Channel at times probably plays it 8 times in a day. TV Land has it, and then it's in syndication all around the country. So it's a blessing. Let me tell you, when those quiet moments when the phone isn't ringing, it's a lot of fun to go down to the mailbox. And usually, if I got a nice big check in there, my wife comes back and says, "Hey, we're buddies."
Now, do you keep in touch with any of the old cast members?
Yeah, matter of fact, Loretta just called. Loretta's birthday is coming up in the next day or two, and she's going to have a party, I think, Sunday night. So she said, "Harry Morgan is 93,
wow.
And it's kind of a little tough for him to get around. He's got a walker, and Mike Farrell and Shelley Fabre will probably be there.
Wow.
I heard from Alan. You know, he has a new book out, and he sent us a copy, and I told him how much I enjoyed the book. But, yes, we all get together. The nice thing about it is that we talk about our grandchildren now, which is so exciting.
And Radar, Gary Berghoff.
Gary lives in Northern California. Right. We don't hear from Gary that much. Gary does not fly. He has a camper, which he travels around, and he's quite an artist. He does wildlife, Audubon kind of things with watercolors.
Ah.
And he's excellent. He has a lot of exhibitions around the United States.
So he's kind of the John Madden of painters, then.
Exactly.
Doesn't like to fly. And speaking of John Madden, we understand you're a huge football fan as well.
Well, yes. I love the game. I've always enjoyed it. I can't believe what the Patriots are doing. As soon as they got Randy Moss, that turned them into some kind of a machine.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
What are your other picks for football this weekend?
Well, I think Brett Favre is unbelievable.
Sure.
I saw that game the last week, and at 38 years old, the guy is just remarkable. I think the Packers will beat the Chiefs. I think the Redskins will beat your Jets. I think I think after that humiliation last week that they want to prove something. So I think the Jets might be their raw meat that they're going to go after. I think the Cowboys will beat the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty simple one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That's a safe bet.
What's a tough one to call? You know what? I'm going to go with my Detroit Lions against the Broncos, even though the Broncos played so well last week.
Well, there it is. Jamie Farr picks the pros for this weekend's football game. Jamie, are you following the writer's strike, the progression of that?
Yeah, I heard that they're on strike today. So far, our Screen Actors Guild, they're in sympathy with them, but they're not striking. Is that going to affect you guys at all?
I don't think so. No, those of us in AFTRA, the American Federation of Television Radio Artists, it's now combined with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and I understand that SAG members are going to walk the picket lines with the writers, but they're also going to cross them and continue to work during at least the initial stages
of the strike. Yeah, well, I guess SAG's got one coming up, and so does AFTRA, I think very soon. So. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I walked the picket line when SAG went out doing that. It's kind of funny to see all these famous faces with pickets in front of the studios where you're hoping, please, God, give me another series.
Well, it looks like it is official. Just checking the wire, Jamie, they have voted to go ahead with the strike on November 5th, which is Monday. So the strike is on as of this weekend. And I'm going to guess that you naturally side with the artist in a situation like this.
Oh, of course. I always do. Thank goodness for residuals. Unfortunately, you take a show like Gilligan's Island, Bob Denver's no longer with us. But the poor guy did that for like 2 years.
Yep.
He hardly made any money off of that, and he was stigmatized with being Gilligan. He couldn't get really a job anyplace in town after that, and he didn't get any residuals.
Yeah, back then they were paying nothing for reruns, nothing compared to what they pay today.
Yeah, well, My reruns, I mean, listen, we've been off the air for, what, 25 years out of production.
Right.
And can you imagine what these people are getting today? When you think about it, Alan Alda in his final season was getting, and he was the kingpin, he was getting $100,000 an episode. These kids today, they get, some of them getting $1 million an episode.
Exactly.
It's 700 and some odd thousand an episode. And so it's just remarkable. It's just like the athletes. I mean, Joe DiMaggio's best year was $100,000.
Right.
So you can imagine what they're making today. I was just a little late in being on a hit TV series.
Yeah, the better money for reruns came even after MASH was said and done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no question about it.
But you, I, here's my theory on that. You get to make that up in volume. because they show it every half hour.
Let me tell you something. If that was the only thing in somebody's career, that wouldn't be bad. That's not a bad barometer to hold up. That's quite a good show. I'm very proud to have been on it.
You can live with that. Well, Jamie, you just sound great, and you're having fun and doing a good job as a game show host, I think.
Yes, it is. I've enjoyed it. The audience has accepted me. We have a lot of fun. And what's so nice about it is that the audience participates. They don't just sit there and do nothing. They get up and they're the stars of the show. So we have a lot of fun, a little byplay with all of them.
Yeah, people like that. Now, what's the info again? How does somebody find out more about this?
Well, you can. They can call that 1-800 number if they're coming to Las Vegas within the next month or so, and they'll get two tickets for the price of one. So let me repeat that for
Please
you.
Please do.
It's 1-800-222-5361. And that'll get them to the Las Vegas Hilton's box office. And if they're on that stage, that's where Elvis Presley was. That's where Barry Manilow performs. That's where Tony Bennett stands. So it's a lot of fun to say, hey, I stood on that stage and played a game and had some fun. You win some money. Everybody that steps on that stage wins something. So you either get a consolation prize or you win dollars.
And you enjoy the time you spend in Las Vegas?
You know what? I pretty much go in and do the show and turn around and come back.
And go
it's
home.
A short hop. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes to the Burbank Bob Hope Airport.
All
so.
Right.
That's what I do. We have our first grandchild, and I want to spend some time with him. I didn't, because I was working in my earlier years of career when we had our children, I didn't spend that much time with the children. So I like to spend a little more time with our grandchild.
Well, congratulations on that. Is there anything about Jamie Farr that we don't know that might surprise us?
Yes, the Chrysler Company, which you like that Sebring that you talked about.
Sure.
They furnish us with our cars for my golf tournament in Toledo, Ohio. My Jamie Farr Owens Corning Classic presented by Kroger. It's my 24th year with the LPGA. And they supply all the cars for us. We appreciate that.
That's great. I forgot you had the golf tournament, and I forgot that you were affiliated with the Ladies Professional Golf Association, which is another nod to your character on MASH.
That's right. And the other thing you probably didn't know is that all the Jeeps are made in Toledo, Ohio, my hometown.
American-made, my friend.
That's right.
That's it. Well, Jamie, you're just delightful, and like I said, America loves you, and we appreciate everything you did and everything you're doing, and it's good to hear you sounding so good and so energetic and having a great time.
Well, thank you. I wish you you and your families a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for allowing me to promote the game show. And I think, again, that should be a very exciting. It's almost like a precursor to the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, I think, with the Pats and the Colts.
That's great. And you've got the holiday movie coming up on the Hallmark
Channel?
Yes, sir.
It's your typical Hallmark movie at Christmas time. It'll give you a tug in the heart and make you cry a little bit. And as I said, Ernest Borgnine is an absolute delight. What a career that man has had.
I got to tune in just to see that. Anything else that you...
No, that's it.
That's pretty good for now, I would say.
Let's see. Right now it's about It's about 2 something in the afternoon. The golf course is still open, so I'm going to head out there in my shorts and sunny day.
Well, I'd pay to see that. Jamie, you've been great. Thank you very much for your time. We wish you the best of luck, and we urge everybody to go see you out in Vegas and to watch for you on the Hallmark Channel next month.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Jamie Farr, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Jamie Farr on the Don and Mike Show. It's Don and Mike have, in case you didn't notice, they're not here because they've done that thing again where they get up and leave. And here's how it went down. It was actually sort of engaging because all of a sudden, Rob was working in the producer's room and presumably setting up this interview. And all of a sudden, Don got this look on his face as if something horrible had happened, and he took off his headphones and went charging out the door. It was some of the best acting I've seen on his part, I realize now. And shortly after that, Mike began to look concerned after he asked that initial early question, and then he took off his headphones and went dashing out the door. I glanced over my shoulder, and of course, Rob was gone. So it's just been me and Jamie Farr for, what, the last, oh, 3-4 hours now, it seems like he and I were chatting. But he was a great guy, and I'm glad he could join us. And I know that because we have bills to pay and commercials to play, and because I can't reach any of the buttons from where I am, they're going to have to come back in here eventually. And I think, don't you think, I did a pretty good job of stretching that interview out for just milking it for everything it was worth. I think I asked Jamie Farr every conceivable question a person would care to ask him. And I think as a reward for my good work, I think Don and Mike should get their asses back in the studio. That's what I think, because I think I've handled this pretty well. And now, once again, I'm in that position where I have no buttons I can push, no telephones I can answer, so I can't talk to people. I have no one around me to interact with. I could start reading the news, but then what the hell do we do at 6? So I'm hoping that in the desperate need to play commercials, perhaps some intervention will occur here, that somebody will come running back into the studio and rescue not only myself, but you, the listener, as well. Because, frankly, now that Jamie Farr is gone, it's just me. And, again, if I'd known you were coming, I would have baked a cake. But I didn't know we were going to be in this position again today, so I had nothing special prepared for you. As I mentioned earlier, the writer strike for television and movies appears to be on. We were saying yesterday that we might even notice it toward the end of this week. Now it appears that, although some of the actors some of the writers have walked off their jobs already, that for the most part, the rest of the union members are leaving on Monday. And that's when you'll begin to see nothing but reruns on Letterman and Leno and The Daily Show and The Colbert Report and Conan O'Brien and all those kinds of shows. You probably won't see any effect from the strike on other shows for a little while, except the networks will start padding. They'll start coming up with news specials to sort of stretch out the season and make the existing television shows they have in the can, as they say, make them last a little bit longer. And, boy, with that, I'm just about toast here, fellas. I'd really appreciate it if you'd come rescue me now, again, as a reward for my good work. Because, really, I think, considering no preparation, no warning, I thought I just covered just about everything you could with Jamie Farr. I don't know that any other human being could have squeezed as much out of Jamie Farr as I did, and he was very generous and kind to stay on the phone for as long as he did, but we couldn't keep the man from his golf game any longer. As you know, he has a passion for golf and short pants. Well, there we are. It's a lovely, chilly day in Washington, D.C., if anybody outside of Washington, D.C. cares about that. Autumn has finally come after a great delay, and it's very crisp and blustery, and even though the sun is shining, you can tell that winter's definitely on its way. And usually when a guy starts talking about weather, you know he's reached the bottom. So that's why I'm more than happy to see a Don, Mike, and Rob.
This is the Don and Mike Show.